Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Necessary Roughness?
It did nothing new, and it was still really good, and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yes!
And I don't think it did anything new in 1991.
No, I don't think it did either, quite honestly. So, for those of you just joining us, welcome. This is You Want Me to Watch What? Where every 2 weeks or so, Chad and I suggest movies to the other that they haven't seen.
We've got an abundance of free time that we've chosen to use this way.
And so this month's selection is called Necessary Roughness, a 1991 football movie starring Scott Bakula.
Yep, good old Dr. Beckett himself.
Yes. So Texas State...
Or was he Captain Archer? No, what captain was he?
I don't know. He was Archer. Yeah,
yeah.
But first he was Dr. Beckett.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's a 37-year-old playing a 34-year-old playing football.
Yes. So, Texas State University, the Fighting Armadillos, they were like the number one team for quite a while. And then due to multiple NCAA violations, including bribery, grade tampering, steroids, you know, the works.
The usual.
The coaching staff and almost all but like all but one player were expelled or fired. So the college brings in Ed Straight Arrow Gennaro, an old school coach, to rebuild the team back up. Except, you know, you can't use any scholarship programs. It has to be existing students. Basically, you're building a new football team from the ground up. Which he goes into with the help of assistant coach Wally Rig Riggendorf.
The Rig.
Meanwhile, they are put up against Dean Elias.
Dean Elias. Played by Larry Miller in another slimy role. He's always the bad guy.
He really is, and he plays it so well. I've never met the man. I'm sure he's lovely, but I would want to punch him in the face.
Here's what I want. I want him and Kurtwood Smith.
Who's Kurtwood Smith?
Red Foreman.
Oh, yes!
But also, he was the villain in
RoboCop, yeah.
I want those two to be like Doofenshmirtz and alternate universe Doofenshmirtz being villains together. Slight-bodied men, not a whole lot of hair on top.
Yeah.
One clearly menacing, and the other one clearly not.
Yes. Dumbass. So, Dean Elias doesn't like football. He doesn't like sports. He thinks that the school's resources should go to only education.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
I don't think we should get into
that. No.
He's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy, effectively, yeah. And so he's going to basically, it's telegraphed very widely that he's going to try everything in his power to make sure that this, you know, ragtag team fails because he doesn't like football.
He does not like football.
That is pretty much his, you know, the antithesis of his character.
His entire raison d'etre.
Yeah, I think I used the wrong word, but that was, yeah, he no like the foosball.
He does not like the foosball. Bunch of barbarians.
So, they hold tryouts. They have a team. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback's not too good, which is when... Coach Riggendorf goes and finds Paul Blake, Scott Bakula. He's a 34-year-old high school football star who's been out of high school for a while, never went to college, working on his dad's farm, but he still got the arm. He was the all-American quarterback, like the guy.
He was the football player.
Yeah. And Rig convinces him to come to college.
What you could have been.
Yes.
A successful farmer, you know, running a farm.
Yes.
You could have been thing. Why is the dean the bad guy?
Because he's the one that looks the slimiest.
Ugh, dang you, Larry Miller.
Because it's a football movie.
It's a football movie.
Not a wholesome farm movie.
You know, there's not enough of those.
That's true. Through plot points, Blake shows up, hands in his registration papers, joins the team, shows he's still got his arm. The team is not the best. It is a bunch of players who can play football, but don't know how in the best of times. Throughout the movie, they grab a few more players. Chemistry professor Sinbad.
Yep.
Joins the team because he also used to play high school football, and he's still got a year left in eligibility, which I don't understand what that means, but...
It probably comes down to the... it's probably to exactly prevent the Scott Bakula thing.
Yes.
It's like you've got 5 years to play college football, and then you gotta move on. You know, you can't be having these 25-year-old guys...
Yeah.
...out in college football.
Yeah.
Their brains have finished developing.
Yes. And then they bring in Kathy Ireland from the soccer team to be their kicker.
You need somebody who can kick a ball.
And boy, does she.
Does she ever.
Yeah.
At least three of them over the course of this movie.
Yes. Couple of them anatomical.
Couple of them anatomical.
Yeah. As the movie progresses, the team doesn't win.
They don't get better.
No, they do, because they tie.
Eventually.
They eventually tie a game.
Game 9 of their 10-game season.
Yes. The dean is trying his best to get all the players kicked off. Throw in a dash of romance between Blake and the journalism professor, Suzanne, whose name I don't remember because... They only really ever... Carter. Suzanne Carter. Professor Carter. She thinks he's a faculty member. He doesn't admit to not being one. He shows up to class as a student. Shenanigans ensue. By the end of the movie, they're all over each other. Because that's that kind of movie.
It's that kind of movie?
It's that kind of movie.
There are no surprises. They do nothing new.
No.
It's still entertaining.
Yes. The end of the movie, their last game, they're going up against the Colts, the number one team in Texas, and they beat them by 2 points. Why? Because it's that kind of game.
1 point.
Oh,
it
1 point.
A 2-point conversion.
2-point conversion, yeah, that's right.
They were down by one.
Yes. They beat them by 1 point. Why? Because it's that kind of movie.
Spoiler for a 31-year-old movie.
Yes. Everybody wins.
Except for the Colts.
Except for the Colts. And the dean who gets fired.
Somehow. After getting run over by the defensive line.
Yes.
For some reason.
Well, I think that was on purpose.
Yeah, probably. See, what irritates me a little bit about that is, like, it's so blatantly obvious.
Uh-huh.
That he's being, you know, gruesome like that. But we never find out why, other than he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Like, somehow there should have been, like, this extra little hint or something. It's like, if he gets rid of the football team, then he gets a bump in pay because now the money that would go to football can go to him and academics or something. I don't know. But it's not made clear in the movie.
No. I would even settle for a brief flashback of him. And I'm picturing Larry Miller playing a high school student trying out for the football team and not making it, and then he just harbors a grudge.
Yeah. Well, he just got done with Suburban Commando.
That's true, he did.
When he made this.
That's true.
So, I mean, he did look small compared to all the other actors in that one, other than Christopher Lloyd.
That's true.
So, I mean, he could have pulled it off.
Maybe.
A wig. I mean, it worked for
Sean
Connery.
No, no, no. No wig. No wig.
Oh. Just yeah. Just pattern baldness at age 16, huh?
Yes.
All right.
But anyway, I digress. It's a 90s football movie.
It is a 90s football movie.
The underdog team doesn't go on to win any bowls. They don't even go on to a bowl, but they win their last game, proving that they are not losers.
That is true.
And everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy.
Except the Colts.
Except for the Colts.
Even though they are probably still going on to a bowl.
And Dean Elias.
And Dean Elias, who can probably sue for some sort of...
I don't know. Do Deans typically have tenure?
I don't know.
I mean, he's not a teacher, so he's not teaching.
That's
although
true.
Although the sexual harassment that he would
yes.
be definitely coming under.
Yes.
With
and tampering with the grades.
Definitely tampering with the grades.
Yeah, he felt Professor Carter wasn't being ethical enough because she has a thing for
the
Blake. Which, in fairness, should not have happened.
It should not have. Not until at least the semester was over.
Yeah. But rather than judging, regrading just Blake's paper, he regrades the entire football team's journalism papers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a step too far.
I'm tough but fair.
Fair. Yes.
I'm sure you are, Larry.
Yes.
I'm sure
here
you are. So.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway. So, tell me your thoughts on the movie.
All right. So, here's my thoughts on the movie. One, Larry Miller knocks it out of the park as the villain.
Yes.
He's just so dang good at it. He's good at being the guy you don't like.
Yes.
And he's good at being that from Suburban Commando to Necessary Roughness all the way to flipping 10 Things I Hate About You when he plays the dad who's actually not a bad guy.
Yeah.
And yet you're still just like, man, what a jerk.
Mm-hmm. He's got that face.
He's just got that thing going on. Surprise, you know, Jason Bateman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who's not in this a whole lot, but you can see the beginnings of what will be his career
mm-hmm.
working out. What's his name? Loggia.
Robert Loggia. Yeah.
Robert Loggia, who was in like 3 Pink Panther movies. He was in Scarface.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in so many movies and just... he's got that voice that sounds like he's been gargling hot gravel right before they said action.
Every time he talks, it sounds like this.
Yes, it does sound like that. Hector Elizondo as Coach Ed Gennaro, another guy that you just don't see playing good guys very often. Usually you see him as being the, you know, the over-strict or the somewhat villainous, like, professional.
Yeah, but I think he was one of the good guys in The Princess Diaries.
Probably. Yes.
Yes. He played opposite Julie Andrews.
Well, and
as kind of her assistant or whatever.
He's been the good guy in a few
things. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It's just when I think about him, I'm thinking, you know, I see him and I see John Flint from Beverly Hills Cop 3. I see,
yeah.
You know, I see those kind of things that I hear the voice of Bane.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. But, and then you've got some of those other actors that are kind of out to the side that we haven't seen again that still worked really well. So
like Sinbad.
Like Sinbad. Or like Peter Tisosopo, who plays Manumana.
Yes.
You know, the center, the, what was he? He was, not Filipino.
Hawaiian.
Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Pacific Islander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Samoan.
So, yes, Samoan.
Who really did a good job of having this role of being this somewhat gentle giant
mm-hmm.
that never felt gentle.
No.
Like, you got the sense that he exuded a kind of masculinity
mm-hmm.
that wasn't toxic.
Yes.
You know, that just, I know who I am, I am who I am, and this is... this is what things will be. You know, one of the few men of honor.
Yes.
In the thing. And then, of course, you got Rob Schneider, because you can't have a movie like this
without
a really young Rob Schneider being the announcer and being ridiculously over the top with it.
Yes, yeah, straight out of Saturday Night Live, Rob Schneider.
I mean, it's just, this is a movie where the cast is what makes it.
Yes.
The story's dumb.
Absolutely.
The setup is interesting. You know, the idea that we have to start a new football program
yes.
from scratch. I like that. I like the idea that you have to have tryouts. It's almost like a Bad News Bears kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to start this whole thing fresh, and you've got a coach that is got his issues.
Yes.
You know? But when you watch it, it's like watching Hoosiers or The Replacements or The Program
mm-hmm.
or any of the, you know, Rudy. It's like watching any of those sports movies where you have the underdogs, you know, it's that kind of movie. This one just happens to be much funnier.
Yes, it is more of a comedy than anything.
And it's really fun watching a bunch of Hall of Famers beat up on the college kids in
yes.
at least one scene.
Yes, the dean thought, well, I'm going to help these kids by putting together a live scrimmage with another, quote, state institution, which happened to be the state penitentiary.
Yeah, where you get to see Earl Campbell and Roger Craig and Jerry Rice and Dick Butkus and Ed Too Tall Jones and Herschel Walker and so on and so forth.
Who are all prisoners playing football.
What are you in for? Computer fraud.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful and it's terrible and I love it and I look forward to seeing it again. And it's one of those shows that I happily would have on with my dad.
Oh, God, yes. Your dad would love this.
He's probably seen it, but it's just one of those things where it's that kind of, it's not doing anything new. I've said that now 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
It must be true.
But it does bear repeating.
It does bear repeating. It's also, it doesn't suffer from a lot of the cringe-worthy things that we see in a lot of those 80s and 90s movies that you and I have watched.
Yes.
You know? The gawking misogyny kind of thing is beaten up right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, stop it. You know,
yeah.
Kind of thing where it's knocked down. There isn't any of the homophobia kind of things, which, I mean, it's a college movie from the 90s. My God, that quote unquote should have shown up everywhere, and they didn't.
There was one throwaway line.
Maybe.
Maybe. But it was never, like, a focal point. It was never a joke.
Right.
It was just, you know, whatever.
So a lot of those problems that we've talked about that when we say we judge a movie on its merits, not on when it was made.
Yes.
You know, we didn't have to do that.
No.
With this one. We could just say, wow, this is a beautiful, dumb thing.
Uh-huh.
And I like it. And I think that more people should watch it.
It is by no means a perfect movie.
Hell fuck no.
No, but it's stupidly fun.
It is stupidly fun. It is a feel-good comedy
mm-hmm.
that happens to feature football and Scott Bakula.
Absolutely.
And I think you should watch it.
Awesome. I think you should watch it too, folks. So, yeah, I guess it makes it your turn.
I've got some ideas.
All right.